Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 16th China Fahui on the Minghui website, entitled Clarifying the Truth in Our Family Businesses, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China.
China Fahui, Clarifying the Truth in Our Family Businesses, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. Greetings, Master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I had a severe stroke in March 2006. Having witnessed my mother's good health from practicing Falun Dafa, I agreed without hesitation to practice it when she and my younger sister encouraged me to do so. The side effects of the stroke and other ailments, including heart disease and stomach issues, were all gone a month later. I had never known how wonderful it felt to be free of illness. After I started practicing Falun Dafa, I understood that it is a Buddha law and greatly cherish it. I am diligently trying to do the three things well so as to fulfill my vow. I would like to share how I clarify the truth to people. Clarifying the truth in the clinic. My husband is a doctor of Chinese medicine and has his own clinic. He has a unique way of treating bone spurs in such a way that they do not recur, and so our clinic was very popular. Not long after I started practicing DAFA, my mother guided me on how to do the three things and took me out to distribute information about Falun Dafa and raise awareness of the persecution. She was very careful when it came to safety and reminded me not to talk about Dafa in the clinic, so I never told any of our patients about it. However, something strange happened that year. Our patients started returning to the clinic and asking for a refund, saying that their bone spurs were not healed. This had never happened before I started practicing DAFA. I thought that this was to cultivate my Xinxing and use the principles of no loss, no gain that Master Li mentioned in Zhuan Falun to remove my attachment to personal gain. If I had not been a practitioner, I would never have given a refund or allowed something like this to happen. However, I decided to refund the money because I was a cultivator. That year, we refunded a total of over 16,000 yuan. By the year's end, we hardly had any patients. As I continued to study the teachings and read practitioners sharing articles, I understood that this was interference from the old forces. I started to send forth righteous thoughts to eliminate the interference in our family's financial situation. At the same time, I realized that I had been wrong in not clarifying the truth to these patients who'd come to our clinic because they'd also come to learn about DAFA. Because I didn't save them, they returned to ask for their money back. After I sent forth righteous thoughts for 2 weeks, patients started to return. Since then, I've clarified the truth and urged every patient and their family members to withdraw from the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, and its youth organizations. Because their treatment takes 7 days, I tell them about Falun Dafa and the CCP in the first few days before encouraging them to quit the party on the last day. While most patients agree to quit the party, there have been a few difficult cases. Once, a prosecutor in our local area came to the clinic for treatment, and I told him about Falun Gong. He asked, "Why do you still practice even though the CCP has outlawed it?" Let me give you an illustration. The CCP promotes deceit, evil, and strife, while Falun Gong believes in truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. "Which one do you think is better?" I said. He thought for a moment before replying, "Truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance is better." "Isn't truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance the opposite of deceit, evil, and strife? Which one is righteous and which one is evil? Isn't it easy to see? He agreed that the CCP was evil and corrupt, but he refused to quit the party. Toward the end of our conversation, I said, "You raised your fist and made an oath when you joined the party to sacrifice your life for it. If you don't quit it, you will be in trouble when the party falls from power." He said he was an orphan and the CCP raised him, so he couldn't quit. His wife, who works in a bank, had accompanied him, understood, and said that she would quit the party using her real name. To urge the prosecutor to withdraw from the party, I treated his family to a meal to tell them about DAFA in detail. His son, a college student, quit the party after listening to me. But the prosecutor still refused to quit, so I gave him the Freegate website and told him to think about it. I told him if he wanted to quit, he could go to the website and do it himself. I also told him not to persecute Falun Gong practitioners. He assured me that he wouldn't, and from what I know, he hasn't. I regret his hesitancy, but at least I know that he has given himself a glimmer of hope because he has understood the truth. A retired director of education came with his wife to the clinic for treatment. He identified with DAFA's principles, but refused to quit the party when I asked him to. His wife, a retired teacher, did. One day, the retired director went to the market and met an elderly practitioner who clarified the truth to him. The elderly practitioner grabbed his hand and refused to let it go until the man agreed to quit the party. Once he did, he hurried to my house, which is near the market, to tell me what he had done. I met a military officer from Dalian who used to bring his cronies around to remove the posters about Falun Gong that practitioners had put up. After I clarified the truth to him, he said, "I didn't know Falun Gong was so good." He promised not to remove the posters anymore. During the 2 weeks it took to complete his treatment, I continued to talk to him. He said, "You speak very well. You never repeat yourself." I knew that Master was helping me. I urged him to withdraw from the party on his last day, and he said he would think about it. Later on, I asked another practitioner to call him and talk to him, and he finally quit. Over the past 9 years, I have persuaded many patients to quit the party, and no one has ever come back to ask for a refund. Clarifying the truth at a construction site. In 2001, my family became the contractor for a demolition site, which became a new place for me to save people. At the site, there were workers who demolished the houses, those who cleared away the bricks, and others who came to buy the scrap. Some of the employees in charge at the site were DAFA practitioners. It gave them a job, but it was also an opportunity for them to cooperate together and save people. With so many people coming and going, I tried not to miss any chance to clarify the truth to them. When I couldn't handle the volume of people, my mother would bring some practitioners over to help. When those who understood the truth identified with DAFA, I gave them a keepsake that they often wore around their necks. If they rode a bike, I gave them a keychain instead to hang on their bike keys. A driver happened to pick up two banners, one that read, "Falun DAFA is good," and the other, "Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." He hung them on his truck mirrors. When he drove, the banners would fly in the wind. He was very excited to show them to me. We hired one of my husband's students to work as a security guard. After he understood the facts, he started to help me save people. He would notify me whenever there was a newcomer to the construction site, and then bring me over to clarify the truth. He persuaded several people to quit the party himself. Because of his support for DAFA, he made a very good living. With Master's protection, there were no accidents in 6 years at our construction site. Clarifying the truth face to face. For many years, I clarified the truth face-to-face in the clinic and at the construction site. With ample time, I could explain things in great depth. I always doubted whether people could really understand the facts if they only heard a practitioner say a few words. Thus, I was leery of clarifying the truth this way. Master said, quote, "Also, with those people that you run into by chance, who you run into in daily life, and the people you run into at work, you should all clarify the truth to them. Even when in your daily life, you pass by people so quickly that you don't have a chance to talk to them, you should still leave them with your compassion and kindness. Don't lose those who should be saved, especially those with predestined connections." End quote. Teaching the Fa at the 2003 Atlanta Fa Conference in Collected Fa Teachings, Volume 4. I knew that time is short, and we are competing against the old forces to save people, so I thought I should at least try this approach. In the spring of this year, I went to the countryside with other practitioners to clarify the truth. I learned from experienced practitioners how to talk to people face-to-face in the market. At first, I could only persuade about 4 or 5 people to quit the party, but now I can persuade 15 or 16 people each time I go to the market. I always chat with a person first to establish a mutual trust before telling them to remember Volandafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. Then I talk about the importance of withdrawing from the CCP and its 2 affiliated youth organizations. If time permits, I tell them about the Tiananmen Square self-immolation hoax. They seem very grateful, and I'm happy that they can be saved. We needed a lot of informational materials in the countryside, but they were in short supply because only one practitioner was producing them. That practitioner asked if I could help. In 2011, I set up another small materials production site in my home. The process of making the materials is also a process of cultivating myself. When the copy machine broke down, I communicated with it and looked within myself. When I found my attachments, the machine started to work again. Many mystical things have happened over the course of producing truth clarification materials. For instance, someone had to help me carry the boxes of paper upstairs as I couldn't do it myself. One time there was no one around, so I asked Master for help. Miraculously, I was able to carry the box upstairs. Since then, no matter how many boxes of paper there are, I can carry them upstairs. In these 13 years of cultivation, I have been diligently doing the 3 things with no regrets. However, I still have many human attachments that have not been relinquished. I will study the Fa more and look within to remove them all so as not to disappoint Master. I feel very fortunate to be a Fa rectification period Dafa disciple, and there is no reason for me not to do well. Thank you, Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.